accession number 20459, reel 13.
Captain Spencer, reel 13.
I think you were saying that this particular raid rather disillusioned you.
Well, in the sense that, I with my particular rifle, it was certainly wasn't terribly well organized. I imagine that there would be more effort to sort of frustrate the Germans or blow roads or railways and so forth. But I was still only on the fringe of the area, and I'd been traveling a lot of time, but having met this bloke, could I call the general, who was very much more organized, we then came to a large village or small town, which was obviously under the control of the partisans. But in travelling to this area, we were passing a whole series of small villages, and I remarked on the fact that a lot of these houses had been burnt down, and I was basically told that the area was what often the Germans would come up from the valleys and attack the village, and they would accuse the villagers of harbouring the partisans, which they possibly were, so they would sort of shoot a few people and burn a couple of houses. When the partisans came back, they would say, well, look, you obviously haven't had your house burnt, and, you know, you obviously harboured the Germans, and so this sort of semi-process was going on. But at this particular small village, there was a number of bands in the area had come in, so there was probably, at this time, at least 100 or more partisans there. And I remember we went to church one morning, and all the machine guns and guns were laid in the aisles, and we had a church. They had a large village hall there. At this time, over two or three days, made some quite good friends, and there was quite amount of drink available, which I'm afraid I did partake of more than somewhat. But during the painting, we had a really well-cooked meal of meat and potatoes, and the food was very much more plentiful at this time, so we were eating on a... And anyway, in the village hall, they had a small dance going, so I did some dance. And also that this time they then had a meeting and they asked me to give a speech. At that particular time, because when I'd gone over the barbed wire, I'd torn the seat of my pants very badly and it was sort of had been pinned up. And so there were a few words that I knew of then of Yugoslav and so like Mort for Shufishma. So I gave this speech in English with Mort Pisissimo and Sattingme, what's the name, and this, that, and the other, which was cheered absolutely. Nobody understood a word, probably, but they thought it was marvellous. And I stumbled and fell over, exposing, and by then the patch of my, on my trousers had come down, so the cheer... almost a bare bottom at the what's name was almost too much for them. So that was a very good evening. That evening I spent in a war for several days. We were in houses, often just on the floor. I think one occasion I got a mattress on the floor as well, which was quite...
But when you spoke to the meeting, how many of them were there, do you think?
At the
meeting where you spoke?
Well, this was in the dance, it was in the hall, yes. So there were probably... then at least 50 people or more. It was a little stage, you know, like a village hall you had.
Yes.
Here.
Did you get any impression of what sort of political ideas these partisans
had? Well, not so much then. Later on, I met a fellow called a commissar. The general and I used to speak, I can't even remember what his name was now, general matters, but... The trouble when you only speak the essentials of a language, it's very difficult to have a meaningful conversation to go into the depth. A lot of it is gestures and so forth and so on. And this is the first time where I was actually in one place for more than a few days. At this time, they used to put out guards. And I can't remember, there was an argument started who would do guard duties and everything else. So they're all pretty ill-disciplined lot, one way or the other, but obviously it was essential because the Germans did come and raid these places. In fact, during this period of time, even in Watsoname, I remember I hardly ever, you could never take your shoes off, for instance, because you'd have to move very, very quickly. And again, we were in this farmhouse in a barn, and I had taken my shoes off, but I tied them together so that I didn't have to do so. And suddenly we had a shouting warning at about 6 in the morning that the Germans were coming. And the distance from the barn to a river bed, which was more or less dry at this stage, well, even though it was in the winter, was, a couple of hundred yards. And myself and two others absolutely, pelted for this place, leapt over into the ditch or riverbed. Apparently, virtually seconds before the Germans came round the corner of the building. And we rapidly put on my shoes and we belted up the riverbed, which was of course concealed, and into the mountain. There were again about, I think, three of us together, and the Germans then filed up through the trees, and we could see them on the path below, and obviously we had to maneuver ourselves behind the trees to conceal ourselves.
How many of them were there?
Germans. Or I should say in all 70 and 80. At this particular time we were only in this house, we were only three or four. But there were other partisans in other parts, and there was firing going on, so that what actually happened we don't know.
What sort of formation were the Germans in when they were
through
the woods?
Well, this time they're going through it just in single file.
Yes.
Because again, it's so steep and so you really can't go in any form of information. There was quite a good road up to the farmhouse we were in.
Yes.
And I'd heard vehicles, I don't know what vehicles were in. But when they came up into the mountains, they were in single file. They would then spread out in different directions. But we avoided them, and there was quite a bit of what's there. Then they eventually, as they often would retire again. And we went to a farmhouse where I met a fellow called Eddie Princey, who was a medical student. He became a friend, and we talked. In fact, I've got letters from him from Australia and everything else. And he was a very young person, and in the farmhouse were about six people, six partisans. And one had been wounded in the shoulder. He'd got a bullet that had gone through one shoulder blade, come out and was lodged in his other shoulder blade. And it was decided that Eddie would dig out this bullet. There was no medical equipment, there was no anaesthetics apart from grappa. And so we plied him with grappa. We tied him to a chair. Eddie heated up a kitchen knife and started to dig into this, but it was unfortunately quite a bit way in, and the bloke, apart from grunting, was extremely brave about the whole thing. But we got the bullet out, which was a matter of great rejoicing all round, apart from the bloke who'd virtually fainted with the what's name, but he would appear to be, they had some form of, well, we put some form of spirit on it. It wasn't the grappa, something on it, and bandaged him up. And he seemed to be, quite recovered.
Did he get better? Do you know what happened to him later on?
No, he because of this wound, he was going back to wherever his home was.
Oh.
But Eddie Princey and I, we this band at this particular time was about, with the general, was about 30 strong. And we then sort of gathered up again.
Having seen these chaps in action on the raid, did you get the impression that they'd done military training and they knew about basic infantry tactics and skills?
Basically, no. I think that the amount of training probably was limited. I mean, I can't remember there that they paraded or we had weapon controls or anything else there. It was such a floating war. Once we'd left the big village, which was obviously you can't stay in any one place too long. But I think another occasion we're travelling between A and B, and we decided to. We were told that a bridge over a railway wasn't guarded, and so again. About 25 of us went cautiously, in pairs over this bridge and stopped the other side. Remember that we got the other side, there was a challenge again in Yugoslav, which I didn't want to say. And then there was shouting going, and then suddenly shots were exchanged. By that time, I was halfway up the mountain, and more shots were fired, and more shouting went on. But it seemed all very strange, what to name. Then the fighting, the firing died down, and somebody said, Antonio, dove? Well, I thought, I wasn't going to answer anything in case who was shouting and so on. So I said nothing, and they said, Tony, come on, come down, and so forth. So I then said, well, I'm here, what the hell's going on? And quickly moved my position in case they fired where I was. Oh, it's only so-and-so, so-and-so. Apparently it was two rival bands. I can't say whether Chitniks or Slovenes or so forth and so on, but I mean, basically, what it was that the people who challenged said that they were in a good spot. The others should come forward and show themselves. And the others said, no, we won't do that. We're going to do that. And so I don't think they actually necessarily fired to kill it, but I mean, they were firing to prove their worth, and I thought, well, this again, why am I involved in this sort of thing? What I could do without that.
What about their field craft? Because you were living up in the mountains and in the woods. Could they move competently with stealth through dense forest, or were they deficient in those skills?
Sorry, that they
their field craft.
Well, their field craft by the nature of the country was very good, especially when we're in contact. But it was there were only on two occasions what I call a battle. I mean, if the Germans were seen, they retreated.
Yes,
and they were certainly very swift in their movement. So therefore, as I said, I was slightly disillusioned by it because they didn't really, in my presence, do any more than sort of fairly salutary effects. They certainly defended themselves or delayed the Germans from coming up into the hills or mountains, but they dispersed, which is why I mentioned we're, five here and so, because as soon as the Germans, we dispersed in different directions because a big body would have been more noticeable.
Yes.
But again, this period of time was again in areas were reasonably under control. And I mean, I remember going at one house helping to make buttermilk, you were fed with the potatoes were quite often about. remember I got for the first time an issue of Tobacco Leaf, and was able to roll a few cigarettes and smoke. We had, I think, another raid was made on another village, and civilians shot, but didn't really find out what that was about. It was probably fascist anyway. But by this time, because of the sort of rather haphazard way of life, and bearing in mind I was trying to get back to our own lines, and I decided to come this way in the hope of meeting this group units of British people who are supplying all these people. I used to talk to the partisans, and they would say, you know, what the hell, there's Churchill smoking his cigar at home, and here we're fighting the war, and so forth and so on. So you're not doing anything for them. There they're standing, completely clothed in British uniform, British guns, shoes, and everything else, and obviously we're getting drops at various times. Anyway, I decided to go further on this. I think we're near Gorizia at this time. I'd gone forward with Watson and met another group where I met this commissar, or just before I met his commissar, I was virtually by myself, and I went into a farmhouse and asked for some food, and they asked for food. And they said, would you feed the stove where they were distilling grappa for night? They showed me a cave a little distance away where I could sleep in during the day, so I'd be out of reach. So I was feeding wood into this burner which was distilling the wine, and I then would, as each bottle filled, I'd put it to, you know, in groups of six and help myself to a fairly generous portion of it during the rest of the night. In the morning I would be giving a large bowl of milk and bread and a big glass of grappa as well, and I'd stagger away to my cave and sleep very soundly during the winter, and came back at night for another meal. So I was getting fed, but this lasted for two or three days before I sort of went on again. But then I met up with this commissar who was a gamer. He was a flying officer in the Yugoslav Air Force.
So by this time you'd crossed the border and you were presumably in Slovenia.
Well, we're Gorizia, I'm not quite sure. It's virtually on the border, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is.
He is a very interesting bloke. I've got his name actually here. I don't know in my papers. And the thing, however, was that the river was in some flood, and a group of about 20 of us, I suppose, we're going to cross, because the bridges were all worldwide, and we were again in an area which was sort of pretty well occupied by Germans anyway, and we wanted to get further into Yugoslavia. And I think it was the first night the river was too much, and they had this virtually what was hardly more than a coracle. It was a very small, almost round-shaped boat with paddles, so in order to get across the river, one had to sort of start at one point, paddle furiously, where the river would take you down, so then the boat had to be taken up the other way to come back. And
how many could you get in it at a time?
Two.
Two?
Only two.
What was it made of?
Well, it was a wooden boat, but it also had canvas.
Yes.
On it. It was a wooden construction, so I think the canvas on it was to sort of prevent any further leaks. Or a tarpaulin type substance, which was painted and secured. And the I think a couple of people, there were only two, I'm sure there was only two, maybe three. No, there was, when I was in the boat, there was only two. Anyway, so they'd have got, so this was taking a long, long time. And once they were, the boat overturned, and the people sort of had to swim the boat ashore and came back. When eventually it was my turn, the boat again overturned. And I was swimming, or trying to swim madly for the other bank, because, you know, I don't want to have to do this too often anyway. We're in the water. And the other bloke was trying to swim to our side, and I was... So eventually we managed he agreed that we would, not by verbally, but he agreed that we started to swim to the other side. So we went quite a way down the river by this time, and the water was flowing very hard. And I must say that the strength of this particular, he was holding the boat while I was trying to scramble ashore with a very short line.
Yes.
And he practically pulled his arm out of the socket, but he didn't let go of the boat, which would have been disastrous. And we managed to secure it and got it through the brushes on the side of it, and were able to carry it back up to where the other people. So, you know, we got over soaking wet. But this side of the river, we went about 2 or 3 miles, and there was a friendly farmhouse. And luckily they had a good fire going, so we were able to strip down and dry the clothes without too much trouble. And you know, we were then to go on.
Were you in touch with this Yugoslav officer at that stage? Had you been the flight lieutenant? Were you in touch with him, the flying officer?
The flying officer, yes, he came over.
He came across
at the same time when we got to this barn.
And you referred to him as the commissar. Was he a communist or?
He was a communist. He was a commissar in the sense.
Yes.
Rather difficult, you know, the Chesniks and the South. But he was a out and out communist, which was the only people which were controlling. Synchronizing all the various, that's what was holding the partisan band together, I think. I think at this time, again, we were together for some time. When we dried and concerned, so we slept in a barn, and again, the Germans came to attack the place, and very similar, we managed to run to a ditch to a certain end. And then we got away from that again, and we another friendly area, and there was dancing by harmonica. The commissar had this time provided me with some cigarettes. But again, while we're in another place, some shots came through the window. It was all sort of a mad scramble from place to place at this time.
Were the commissar's men different to the Italians you'd been with earlier in any significant way?
The commissar, again, was a very highly educated man and very different to the other. They were different people, but it's difficult to have conversations and sort of really... We're not long enough, somehow, together. We're always on the move to get much communication going. Another day, we have a guide that takes us to a mountain, and there's a sort of a secret way up the mountain, which is almost mountaineering in itself. I mean, very narrow ledges, and you have to scramble up places to get from one place to the other. I remember we had to cross. We went down at night and crossed a railway. We couldn't go by a bridge. There was another Oh, yes, this is another big fight where the Germans were coming up, and this is the time I used my rifle virtually for the first time.
This was still the same rifle?
The same rifle, the ancient which I hadn't let go at any time. It had a wire sling on it, which cut into my shoulders very badly, but they were coming up up a mountain pass, and we, further up, somebody had sent some boulders down to block the road because there were vehicles coming as well. So we fired at these people and then made a very quick disappear up the mountains again.
How far away were they when you opened fire?
Well, on this particular occasion, I say that because we're on a very high part, a matter of 400 or 500 yards only. So that we, but however, they couldn't really attack us from the path because it was almost a sheer, sheer climb. So there's no way they could do that. And as you probably know, that as soon as somebody starts firing at you, once they you disappear as quickly to
take cover
until you can organise something. But they had no chance of attacking this particular place, so we were reasonably safe there.
How many shots did you fire?
I fired two. I think I can rightly say I got one person, one German. But, I mean, at that time there were about 15 or more on this particular stretch.
Yes.
And they were fired at the same, so you can't really say that it was you.
How did they respond? Did they return fire or did they simply go to ground?
The
Germans. When you opened fire on them, did they shoot back or did they just go to ground?
There was some shooting back, but basically they disappeared over the road uncover.
Yes.
However, we didn't stop.
You were on the way out.
We were on our way out already, which is why the performance that we do. I mean, we'd fire and then get moving as quickly as possible. Mm. There's no way you could resist, well-trained German troops, who I have great admiration for their skills. I think that it's very difficult to remember. I seem to remember here that with this commissar for some time, and then we met another band, but we were now really heading for territory which was in control by the Posen. But after one of these fights, for instance, I remember people were, where I was a command post, and several people were brought in wounded, some obviously very, very seriously. There was virtually no medical attention at all. And I remember there were two partisans go there at this particular house, and that night I actually had a blanket and slept between them, which was extremely warm. There was no question of any hanky-panky or anything else. I was just grateful to be somewhere warm for a time after slipping in the hot thing.
But were there a lot of women up in the mountains?
Well, up to this stage, I hadn't come across virtually any partisans with the band, but now we were getting close to the army. There were quite a few of them, as I say, the two in this particular house. And also, this here, there's one extra, they had one car. They had control of about 2 or 3 miles of mountain road up this mountain. And they were using this car to go from one place to another. But the driver apparently crashed the car at a bridge or turn, so it wouldn't go. And I was told that he was shot for his problem. I didn't actually see it happen, but it was obvious.